Hello and welcome to Charity Chat. I'm your host, Rachel Conroy. This week, I sat down with Andy Mortimer, Head of Communications at the Co-op Foundation, to talk about how you can use your comms strategy to help tackle inequalities. We take a look at the specific approach the Co-op Foundation took to building out their strategy, explore the importance of understanding the why of communication, not just the how, and doing all of this without straying from their golden thread of putting young people and partners at the centre of how they work. So here is Andy. Hi there, I'm very happy today to be joined by Andy Mortimer, Head of Communications at the Co-op Foundation, to talk about how you can use your comms strategy to help tackle inequalities. How are you today, Andy?
Hey, I'm really good, thank you, Rachel. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. It's still kind of September sunshine, still keeping us going a bit. It's nice, isn't it?
Even in Manchester.
Even in Manchester. Brilliant. So, Andy, if you wouldn't mind kicking off by telling the listeners a bit about your background and how this led you to your current role.
No problems at all. Yeah, so I'm a journalist by trade, actually. I studied at Sheffield University and was super keen to be a print journalist. I was really lucky. My first job was back at my local paper up in Hull, where I was a journo and a feature writer for about 4 years. I then moved to London, did a wee bit more journalism before going on a bit of a career change and moving into charity PR. I think when you're in journalism in London, you do have a couple of options to you. You could be a feature writer, you could try and get on the nationals, which is obviously very hard and very competitive, but very rewarding, or you can go into PR. I think if I wanted to do PR, I'd said to myself, I'd only ever want to do charity because I want to do something with my skills that I think, or I hope, can help people. So I did a few charity jobs in London at a children's hospice, at a homelessness organisation that later merged with St Mungo's. So I loved working with St Mungo's, and then my final job in London was at YMCA England and Wales, where I was their comms manager, looking after things like research report launches and social media and internal. And found myself at the foundation 5 years ago. It was after a move back up north, where I'm originally from, and it just seemed a really cool job. It was reimagining itself as a funder. It was starting up again. It had a new team in place. It had a really small team, actually. When I joined, I was the only person in comms. They'd never done a press release before. They had a website that wasn't editable. They had like social channels that had something on only every few weeks. And actually, like, it was a chance to really build something from scratch. And I feel really honored and indebted to them that they allowed me to grow into the role that I'm in now and to build something new. So built up new strategies, built up new processes, did loads of delivery, and then brought in the amazing team we have in today. We have three of us in comms and campaigns, all trying to help our new strategy, which is called Building Communities of the Future Together, help that come to life and help deliver on Co-op's vision as well.
Oh, that's great, Andy. And it's interesting what you said about the timing of you joining the team, because I think as an outsider, it does feel like, for want of a better word, the Co-op Foundation feels like it's modernized a bit over the last kind of few years in terms of like how you're presenting yourself externally as well, even if that was happening internally before.
I think our comms has changed as I've probably got better as I've learned what the funding sector is like. It's an incredibly complicated and nuanced world, but at the end of the day, there are some really wonderful, simple stories to tell, and that's what you learn as you go along. And the foundation is, in my view, doing something that not every funder is doing, and it's really exciting. It's delivering now mainly unrestricted funding for organizations, mm-hmm. rather than project funding. It's favoring long-term funding. We have young people helping to develop our vision and then helping to give out the funding. It's a newish way of working. It's kind of towards the cutting edge of funding, and I've been really proud to be part of it for years now.
Yeah, I think that that term unrestricted funding is the absolute magic word for anyone who is a fundraiser themselves. So I'm sure a lot of they may get a lot of inquiries from our listeners after hearing that as well. Thanks, Andy. So moving on then a bit to the kind of crux of the topic for today, what were the principles and audience strategies you and the team used when creating the new comm strategy at the Co-op Foundation?
Yeah, so just to step back for a second, so we developed our new organizational strategy, the Building Communities of the Future Together, in 2021, 2022, just after kind of like the impacts of COVID were lessening slightly on society. We knew when COVID happened, we needed something new, we needed to respond in different ways and to tack on what we'd learned. And that was built, and that was actually a really fun project to communicate. And I worked on that with a couple of my colleagues, and we did like animations and all these new ways of working, and built a new narrative, and it was brilliant. But once that was done, we knew we needed to update how we're communicating as well. I wanted to kind of do it properly. I think throughout the time at the foundation, we'd always had a common strategy to work to. I think I had that joyous moment when you start a new job and you're told we want a strategy, and it's like, okay. And they want strategy by the next board meeting, which is in about 10 weeks. So like, we've done strategies before and we knew why we were communicating stuff, but the nuance and the principles is hard to spend time on when you've got all the day-to-day delivery. So a big shout out to our SLT at the foundation and to Nick Cross, the CEO in particular, for like giving us a space to do it. So we started in January 2023 looking at what this new strategy would be. And we took it from a complete blank sheet of paper. We sat there and like, what are we doing well now? What are we doing badly? We did a SWOT exercise in person together. We did a stop, start, continue. And we looked at all of our values as well in that little working groups over the course of January to see what it is that we did well, and that our cooperative values of things like democracy and self-responsibility and solidarity, what they told us we should be doing in our comms. Because as a funder, we're not a thematic funder. We don't fund like youth loneliness like we used to, and we don't fund the climate like we have in various funds. We fund communities. So what we stand out for as a funder is how we fund. So we decided that what we wanted to stand out for as a communications team was how we communicated, rather than the topics itself. So we spent a lot of time on those values, and we did a colleague survey as well for SLT, for trustees, for colleagues, to find out what it is that they thought we did well and how the way we worked for them. And we've got some really interesting stuff, like people wanting us to share more learning, people wanting us to kind of like really use the Co-op brand for the benefit that we can, but not to confuse, which is really difficult actually. And people liking our consistency of our voice and wanting us to be more flexible, and all these various things came out, and that helped us to build these principles of how we wanted to work. The audience strategies came later. So anyone who's seen the strategy is actually split into three. There's a golden thread that runs through everything. There is a series of audience strategies, and then there are the principles. So the principles was the first piece of work. The next piece of work was working on the audience strategies. Because within our organizational strat, there are four really distinct groups, and they're all very, very different. We had young people who'd helped to build our vision and who would eventually be funding directly. We had partners who wanted to work with. So we call anyone that we fund our partners. We want to have that as little power dynamic as possible. So for other people that were maybe grantee, but versus partners. Also other funders who we wanted to work with and influence, and obviously Co-op colleagues and members who are a huge group for us. So we spent a lot of time thinking about within our organizational strategy, what would we like these people to go through on a journey. So we picked the groups, and there were the groups, and then we profiled and segmented them. Because, you know, there's nothing worse than people saying young people and thinking it's one big homogenous group of what, 12 million under 25s in the UK. Lots of different groups of young people, all on different journeys, all thinking different things, and all different ways they want us to communicate. So we picked different segments for each of our audiences and then decided what we thought was best for them. So for young people, it was all about helping them understand what we do, so they can then build communities of the future themselves and inspiring them through each other. So that was the journey for us. It's not to say it was right. We kind of made it up a little bit as we went along. We did have a few meetings where we sat there being like, is this working? Is this rubbish? Is this gonna actually do anything? And eventually it did, but it was a bit of a journey for us.
Well, I like that. I like the honesty, Andy, in terms of like that maybe didn't have the kind of plans as much as you want, but they kind of came together in a way that really worked for you and the foundation as well.
Well, yeah, I did a blog on this for Charity Commons, and it was an interesting one because we didn't really, when we started the strategy, like we'd done strategies before between us, we'd contributed to them and various things, but actually there are a big number of comm strategies out there, like from charities or from funders saying this is what we're doing and why. So we wanted to kind of use it as a strength, really. We wanted to use it in a way to kind of say, you know, we don't know what the end goal is going to be, so let's make that.
Yes, yeah, so Andy, it sounds like it was a real kind of team effort as you were all working it out together as you went along as well.
Yeah, and the team were great. I mean, although I'm the head of the team and there was three others in there, actually, a lot of the work that I did was in the background. Like, I'd put together the papers that we'd written up and I'd book in the meetings. But the content was made in really collaborative kind of team sessions, either online or in person, and with different people working, different people, so we can mix ideas around, do something different. And we're really passionate as well that we wanted to share the journey. So we did a blog early on saying what we'd done so far, and those who did another blog for Charity Commons at the end. And also being on here is part of that, because one of the commitments we have in our organizational strategy, one of our comms principles, is about sharing learning so that we all get stronger. We want everyone to kind of like use this, and they might look at the strategy and not like it, and that is totally fine. I would love to kind of see what we could do better, but I hope for some people it's useful as a way of just building out why you communicate and how you communicate, because that sometimes is what gets lost in comms, where you have the pressure to create content but not always the time to ask why.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that real kind of opportunity to step back is really important, isn't it, a lot of the time. You mentioned just a little while ago, Andy, about your golden thread that you had. Can you tell the audience a little bit about what that was, and how did you ensure this was kind of showing up in everything as well?
Yeah, and this is kind of like the strategy going backwards. As I said, we created our principles first. We then identified the audiences from our organizational strategy and picked journeys and strategies for them. But then, because you want to be as simple within your communications as possible, We needed something to tie it all together, kind of a reason for being for everything. So that somebody saw our content for co-op colleagues and somebody saw our content for funded partners, there was a link between the two. There was something that actually was like, this is quintessentially the foundation. This is how we talk. This is what we're trying to achieve. So we wanted to create this golden thread that would run through everything that we did. And we're quite fortunate that at the same time as building this, we're working on a theory of change for the foundation. And it was focused on young people and partners. That is what we do at the foundation. We work with young people. We support partners that support young people. They're a huge part of what we do. So we created this the golden thread, which is that in all our communications, we'll put young people and partners at the center of how we work and what we say, so we can grow stronger together. And it is important to have both bits in there about being at the center of how we work and growing stronger together, because that's our cooperative values. So we bring this to life. Recently, we've released some research actually into the impact of the journey to net zero on young people. And as we were in the team putting the blog together on that, that golden thread is at the top of the blog. And we have to say within it how we'll make it come to life in the blog, in terms of how we'll put young people's voices within the words, but then how we'll share it with partners and young people so that they can benefit from it in the marketing. So it is genuinely the golden thread that brings everything together. And it's really helpful. I think we've been working on it as a team, and actually compared to previous strategies, we're actually, it's really simple now. We're doing a comms plan. We abide by the golden thread. We target at this audience, and we try and spotlight each time 4 to 5 principles. What's going to be more complex moving forwards is how we kind of police that and make sure that we are actually making progress on them. So that'd be something that, as a team, as we grow and as we learn, we'll try and work on that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And again, Andy, I think I know from my time working on strategies and with the team, it's sometimes it doesn't always build from the foundations up. Almost sometimes it's kind of that golden thread comes first, and then you kind of have to, you said strategy going backwards, but actually this could be seen as the opposite. It could be strategy going forwards, because you're kind of building foundations and working to that pinnacle at the top, versus having that at the top and then figuring out how you lead into that as well.
Better at spinning it than me. That's probably more accurate. Yeah, I think I'm talking too timeliney. We did the research first, and then we did the golden thread. But yes, you're right. You're right. I agree. I'll use that in my next podcast.
Andy, I think it's a typical thing of the humility of a lot of us who work in the not-for-profit sector here as well, in that we don't like to kind of toot our own horns. We rely on other people to do that. So I'll do that for you, Andy.
Thank you.
That's okay here. So yeah, you kind of touched on it as we went along, but I think it would be good, if possible, if you could give any advice to anyone looking to create a comm strategy, to either enable them to tackle inequalities or to kind of, come up with their own solutions to problems they might be looking at as well.
Yeah, I think on the general point about comm strategies, I think they're not to be done on your own, and they're not to be put in a drawer. I hate that. I know when people say we're going to make and put in a drawer, it's a bit obvious, but like it is actually true. We created this as a team, and the team completely owns it. And I'm actually leaving the foundation quite soon, and whoever comes in as like a new head of or takes on the role, they'll have a starting point they can build on it. But like the team created this. This is a group effort. It wasn't me as a head of just doing it. And the team blindly having to use it. We spent loads of times with colleagues, SLT, co-op, young people trying to get the best out of it. And actually, that was really helpful because everyone gets not just to own it, but to understand it. I think that's a really important thing to do. I think having time as well was useful, but also trying to be realistic, like, comms people, everyone's busy in every organization, in every role. Comms people are particularly, I always think. So we tried to set aside like 3 or 4 hours a week each on this, which is a team of four, still meant 12 hours a week on a comms strategy. It was still pretty decent, but it didn't take over our lives. It meant it took longer, but it meant we didn't have to kind of go completely off diary, which is an argument we should have done actually. But that was already useful. When it comes to actually like trying to tackle inequality or inequity in communities through comms, it's a really interesting question because as part of this, we work with an awesome agency. I'm sure they won't mind me shouting them out, called Brand By Me, who did a DEI audit of our communications to find out how actually the organization as a foundation is trying to tackle inequity, but comms is a really big part of that. And that can be anything from the way that we work to our outputs to even what we call out in maybe other organizations or individuals to kind of say, this is what equality and equity should be. So that was a really interesting piece of work for us. And we're only just now kind of ingesting that and trying to make the changes that we need to make our comms better. So any review of how your communications could further the tackling of inequity in your organization is great, even internally as well.
Yeah, brilliant. And I think at the start there, Andy, I think I picked up on, you talk about the time that you dedicated. That obviously does have to come from the top as well, to understand that it may take longer, but if you're each dedicating a certain number of hours a week, then it gets done in a way that's beneficial for all as well. But you do need that support from above as well, to give you the time to do that amongst your team.
And I think we earned that in a way because I think our communications are really, really good at the foundation. I think the team are incredibly talented. And I think knowing that taking 3 hours out a week of our time each wasn't a big ask to make it even better. So I think that really helped.
Brilliant, thanks.
That's me going against the humility thing, but it's mainly for my team, not for me. My content's rubbish.
It's not, everyone. If you follow Andy on LinkedIn, it's definitely not. So I think probably just time for one last question today, Andy. If you were taking on a similar challenge in the future, what might you do differently?
Yeah, I made some notes on this one because there's a few. And to be honest, it's one of those ones where it's hard to know until you kind of get a little bit further on. We have only just released it. And I think actually we may reflect in 6 months' time and be like, oh, that bit wouldn't really have worked and that should have been done differently. But on the point about being, I think the big thing that we did spend a lot of time on was the audience profiling. I would say quite openly in our team that maybe that should have been off diary because it was so much work. We had incredible support from the co-op to help us do that. We got so much content in that actually did we make the best use of that? And that's something for us to reflect on. And the other point really is about what we've tried to do is to really share what we've done. Like I'd absolutely love all organisations, especially in the charity world, to kind of be talking a bit more openly about comms, because we all want to help communities. We all want to kind of become stronger. That idea of partnership is bigger and stronger than ever within the foundation and charity world. And whatever we can do to strengthen each other, I think we should be doing that. So I'm really happy to be sharing this, and I'm really happy if people ever want to reach out and ask what it is that we did and what it is that we'd kind of like recommend doing, because I'd really happily share that. And the other thing is to give ourselves a break a bit more. We did kind of push through with this. We did have loads of other content on. We did kind of make sure every single word was perfect. And I heard a great phrase recently that, like, you know, 80% is still really good. And actually, we think this is like as good as we could have made it, but could we have actually done a job at 80% and been working on it 3 or 4 months earlier? Potentially, and that's where that time to reflect will really help. Either way, I think it set us up in a good stead. And I think the four of us in the team, we've learned loads from this. And even without the final document, we're stronger as comms people as a result, and hopefully a bit closer as a team, know how each other work a bit more. So I think that's all stuff that maybe we could iterate, but also went quite well too.
Brilliant. Well, thanks, Andy. It's been great to hear about the process and your reflections on everything as well.
No, it's been a pleasure, and I hope it's useful for people.
I'm sure it will be.
Lovely to chat to you, Rachel.
Thanks so much, Andy. A big thank you to Andy for sharing his expertise with us. A sentence that really stood out for me in our entire conversation was Andy's assertion that they approached the strategy going backwards. Delving into this, what he actually meant was they built from the foundations and principles rather than having a hypothesis from the start that they all had to work towards. I suggested that this is actually the way you should be approaching a strategy, and implies that a lot of us are used to having to create strategies which fit a top-down approach within our organisations. As a foundation, the co-op wanted to stand out for how they fund rather than what they fund. This can be seen across different facets of the organisation, and very specifically in the language they use. For example, organisations that receive grants from the foundation are called partners, which feels like a positive shift in this dynamic, which can often appear dominated by the grant giver. It is very clear that all of the work conducted required a big team effort, and support had to be given from the top down to allow the necessary time to get the strategy done, and also allowed the team to feel that they really owned the piece of work. However, maybe take heed of Andy's advice and consider the point that perfection isn't always necessary, and sometimes 80% is good enough. So thank you for listening to Charity Chat. We would love to hear your thoughts on this episode. You can find us on LinkedIn to share your thoughts, or email us on charitychatpodcast@gmail.com. Please do like and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode, and share with any colleagues or friends who may be interested. It's just left for me to say thank you to Magda Askmit for our beautiful website. Check it out at charitychat.org.uk. And a big thank you to Forrester Falls for playing throughout the show and for playing us out now. I've been your host, Rachel Conroy. Thank you again for listening.